Wow. Well, I love the lyrics of that song so much. The idea that Jesus is our one defense, our righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, I'd like to focus on this idea that Jesus is our one defense. So I have to start by telling you a story about when my husband, yes, your preacher, had a warrant out for his arrest. Yes, it's true. So, now that I know I have your attention, I'll tell you the story. It's a true story. So, before we were married, Sajan went on a mission trip to India, and before he left, he sold his car to a friend of his. And his friend neglected to register the car in his own name, and then he went and parked it on the streets of Boston with no license plate. So, of course, you know, they put ticket after ticket on the car and stayed there for a while, and eventually they mailed the last registered owner of the car a very big parking fine, and that was Sajan. Now, Sajan was in India, so he never received that parking fine, and then, you know, so then, of course, they mail him a summons to court, and he didn't receive that either. And so, you know what happens when you don't respond to a summons to court? You get a warrant out for your arrest. So, a few months later, Sajan returned to America, and much to his surprise, he's pulled over by the police, and they say, you know, there's a warrant out for your arrest. They towed his car, made him walk home, and he had to appear before the judge. And, the judge said, you either pay this big fine or you have to do community service to pay for your crimes, which, honestly, I think his biggest crime was not putting someone more responsible in charge of his mail and selling his car to that guy, right? But they said, you know, he had no money after being on the mission field, so he said, I'll do the community service. And he worked hard to complete it, and then he put the matter behind him, so he thought, right? Fast forward a few years, we're now married, we're living in a totally different part of the state, and I get pulled over by the police, and they say, ma'am, do you know there's a warrant out for your husband's arrest? And honestly, I kind of laughed, and I said, I really think you have the wrong guy. But then they kind of explained to me what had happened, and we figured out what happened. Long story short, Sajan went to court with a new judge. He, thankfully, what happened was the old judge had neglected to file the paperwork showing that he had completed the community service. Thankfully, my husband likes to hold on to paperwork. I never bug him about that anymore. So he brought his paperwork to the new judge. The judge said, you know, the price for your crimes has been paid, you're free to go. So that was a wonderful ending to a scary story, you know. And why am I sharing this story with you, right? Besides the fact that it's shocking and it's hilarious, but the truth is, seriously, we all have to stand before a judge someday. We will all stand before a judge. And in Hebrews 9:27, it says, we are all destined to die once and then to face judgment. So let's take a moment and just picture that scene. Okay, when you stand before before God, the judge, what will your defense be? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Maybe it's, I was born into a Christian family, or I'm a good person, or I'm a better person than that. I'm not like that. I've never done that sin. Before my conversion, honestly, I used all of those excuses in my mind to justify myself. And after my conversion, I appeased my guilty conscience with different defenses. My defenses then became, well, I'm part of a Bible-believing church. I was baptized. I follow the Bible. I serve the poor, and I give money to those in need. I read my Bible every day. I go to church every day, every Sunday. I give a lot of money to my church. In fact, I'm ashamed to tell you this story, but as a young Christian, there was another young disciple that once asked me why I was sure I was going to heaven. And do you know what my answer was? My quick answer, in my zeal to hold to the truth and in my newfound excitement about being part of this Bible-believing church, my answer to him was that I was sure I was going to heaven because I follow the Bible. And then I went home, and I got on my hands and my knees, and I cried because I realized how just insulting to the grace of God and how arrogant that answer was. The truth is, I don't really follow the Bible. I mean, could I honestly say that I had obeyed all of it, even as a disciple? That I'd never been envious or held a grudge against someone or held bitterness in my heart towards someone? that I had never been guilty of selfishness or greed. And what a fool I was, right? So, you know, I prayed and I just asked God to forgive me because I had been trying to defend myself all over again instead of leaning on the grace of God. So here's the thing. If you're counting on any one of those defenses that I mentioned to acquit you before God on Judgment Day, I have really bad news for you. None of those defenses will be enough. Not one of them. Not even all of them put together would be enough to acquit us. The truth is, there's a punishment for sin that must be paid. Otherwise, our God would not be a just God, right? I mean, we all want God to be just when it comes to murderers and child traffickers, right? But what about liars? What about the greedy? How many lies is too many? Where does God draw his line of justice? Should he allow sinners into his perfect heaven? What would happen to heaven, right? I mean, we find the answer in James 2:10. It says, anyone then who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Huh. The only way for God to be truly just is to be consistent. Sin is sin. There's no difference between small sins and big sins. If we break the law, we're lawbreakers and we cannot make it into heaven. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this, too many to share here, but the bottom line is there's two ways to get to heaven. You either be perfect, follow the whole law, or you get a good lawyer because you're in the same boat as those who are guilty of breaking every law. And personally, I know option one is out for me. I have not been perfect. I've missed the mark. I've fallen short. So now before you tune me out and call this the most depressing communion message ever, let me remind you that we have to get an understanding of the bad news before we can really grasp the good news of the gospel, right? And so the good news is that we have a very good lawyer in Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. In 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that word advocate, it translates this Greek word paraclete, and it means one who comes along beside us because he knows us well. And it's often translated in our Bibles as comforter or helper. It refers to the Holy Spirit. But did you know it's also the word that a Greek speaker in New Testament times would use to refer to the family lawyer? That's what it is. So picture this. When Jesus, our lawyer, our advocate, approaches the judge with us beside him, his evidence in our defense is not going to be, well, Your Honor, you know, she was a really good person. You know, she went to church every Sunday. That's not what his defense will be for me. No, his evidence, his defense on our behalf is himself. He is our one defense, like we just sang. Exhibit A is the crown of thorns. His exhibit B is the nail marks in his wrists and in his feet. The price has already been paid. The punishment is fulfilled. And just like Sajjan had to go and present his evidence before the judge and prove that the price for his crimes had already been paid, in the same way, Jesus, he does that for us. He stands alongside us on Judgment Day and says, yes, there was guilt here, but Your Honor, I've already paid the punishment for her sins. She's free. You know, some of us here today, we're still trying to act as our own defense lawyers, and we all know that's a really bad idea, right? But when we mess up, we think of all the reasons why we should still be allowed into heaven, right? And we have to really deceive ourselves to believe those defenses. The world even helps. Like, they tell us, oh, don't be so hard on yourself. You're a good person. Everybody makes mistakes, right? You know, and then there's others of us that get overwhelmed with guilt and can be even tempted to give up when we feel like we failed over and over and over again. And we might say things like, oh, I'll never be good enough to get into heaven. And through the years, I've learned to stop trying to placate these thoughts like the world does. I've learned to accept that they're true. I will never be good enough to get into heaven. I won't make it into heaven on my own defense. But Jesus Christ himself is my one defense. He is my righteousness. And oh God, how I need him. So let's pray as we take the Lord's Supper together.